turn with us tonight into Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We'll just start reading at verse 1. Read through verse 3, and we'll try to mind the Lord tonight and just give you what God's give up. Amen? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." I want to preach tonight for just a little while, if God be my help, on this thought: the need for rest. The need for rest. As I got to thinking about this, and several people in the last school, especially the last few days, I've went to visit with them, different ones, and some of them getting up in the years pretty good, and you talk to them, and they keep telling, they say, well, I'm just tired. And I say, I'm ready to go home. I just need some rest. And they can't do a whole lot. They're kind of pinned down by their age and by their health issues. And I got to thinking about my little daddy before he went out of here. I was thinking about him quite a bit this past weekend. We were sitting down at his house one day, and he told me, he said, "Son," he said, "I'm just wore out." He said, "I'm tired. I'm ready to go home." I thought, how could you be tired? You know, you lay there all the time. The last year and 18 months, he couldn't even go out of house except to go to the doctor. But he was just wore out physically. His heart had given out on him. And he was looking for a better way. And he was looking for a better day. He was needing some rest. But God said the night that he has a rest that's out of this world. He said, "I have a rest for you." Praise God. And God initiated and started it here in the garden. He talked about that creation rest when God had created everything. Praise God, everything that He had made. And He said it was good. And not only did He say it was good, but in Genesis chapter 1 and 31, He said it is very good. Amen. And when God said what He had made, that it was very good, I can put you on the authority of God that it was very good. What does that mean? Mean to me and you? That means it was perfect. That means it lacked nothing. It means it was a very good. But I want to say that something happened. See, God gave us a creation rest. He stepped back from creating and He gave us a rest. He offered us a rest in all that He had made. And it was perfect. It was unique. It was set aside, amen, in a garden, in a place where it could be protected by the hand of God. It was in a place that needed the rest of the Lord. Amen. But I want to say something happened, and it became marred by sin. Sin entered in and messed it up. Amen. That creation rest that God made, that He said was very good, something came in. You know what it was? It was unbelief. Unbelief came in. And every time unbelief comes in, it messes up that place of rest. That creation rest, that perfect rest, was messed up by sin. Sin is nothing more, just unbelief, not trusting and the Lord. That's what happened here in Adam and Eve. When we go to chapter 3, God put them in a place. God gave them all that they would ever need. And God told them the only thing they couldn't do was to partake of a tree in the midst of the garden. Amen. They had perfect rest in this place. They just kept an eye on things. Done a little upkeep here and there. Amen. Brother Jeff, maybe the extent of what they had to do was help a little grapevine to get over to the next branch it was climbing, something to that order. But glory be to God. Listen, sin came into the camp, and they marred that creation rest, was marred by sin. The old tempter come along, and he began to make them doubt the truth of the Word of God. Look around us today, youngins. We're living a day and time when people's trying to make us doubt the Word of God. I had people this week ask me, how do you know that what you believe is real? Huh? Say, that you say that you believe, that you say you know, that you are preaching and talking. They said, how do you know that it's real? I had to just sit, tell them back and say, hey, listen, I have the evidence. Amen. Praise the Lord. They said, what do you mean? I said, I've got the evidence, lives in me. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God is in me and it's living, it's real. But I said, I have the evidence of the Word of God. And amen, even to my salvation, I said, it starts with my faith. Amen. Our faith, what we believe, praise God. God said that Jesus came, He was born of a virgin. Amen. That was a fact. It's been proved. Even history itself teaches that Jesus was conceived a virgin. Amen. Now science tries to disprove that. Say, well, you know, that's probably, that they've got a thing now. They say, well, it is possible for a woman to conceive without a man and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, right. Amen. Yeah, but when she conceived the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. That's how she conceived. Amen. Without a man, when she conceived the Holy Ghost of God. But I said, I believe that. He was conceived, amen, in a virgin, and he was born in this world. He was born in Bethlehem, Judea, praise God, just like the Bible said he would be. I said, I believe because the Bible was pointing to him. Amen. And that he grew up in this world. He walked, he was a perfect, sinless man. Amen. They said, I told him, I said, the whole world looked at him, they judged him, and said, I find no fault with him. The whole world looked at him and said, I can't find nothing wrong with this man. Amen. They crucified him anyway. Fact proof, amen. They crucified him, hung him on a tree. They have a shroud now that they're traversing all over the world trying to figure out if that's the one that was wrapped around Jesus. Amen. They're not trying to disprove Jesus. They're just trying to see whether that was the right shroud or not. Amen. Glory be to God. He don't need that either. But I said, fact proof, praise God, Jesus died. Fact proof, praise God, Jesus got up victorious over the grave. Amen. He come out of there, glory be God, on resurrection morning, praise God. Brother Bill, he got up. Amen. Amen. Not only did he get up, he came out. I'm glad God does that for me and you. Yeah. Amen. He'll bring us up and he'll lift us up and he'll bring us out. Amen. Out in that marvelous light of praise God, of the glory of God in him, and begin to give us that help and hope that we need. Proof fact, amen. I said, he got up. They say, well, how do you know for sure? His Bible said that over 500 one time saw him alive. Amen. 500 people. They took those people and they separated them off and they quizzed them. And all their stories was the same. Said 500 people couldn't tell it the same if it wasn't the same, if it wasn't true. Amen. They said, how do you know what you believe is real, praise God? Because the Bible says so. And I believe it, amen. Believe Jesus, praise God, got up. I praise He was rose up victorious over grave. And I believe that He went up to the Mount of Olives and He descended up into heaven while they watched. Amen. Amen. And I believe He's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Why? Because there's a creation rest, but it's marred by sin. And we had to have that. But you know why them people? That's because of unbelief. People just don't, they just can't sign it in their heart to believe. They're trying to get their head around it when it's a hard issue. Amen. You hear what I said? We're trying to get our head around something that's a hard issue. I believe in my heart the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is that precious Lamb without spot, without blemish. Amen. I believe that He died for me. We see how sin came in. It marred, made a mess of the whole thing. And the Bible tells us here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, He said, unto Adam, He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and the dust shalt thou return. It's like I told that person, I said, praise God, I believe the Word of God. I said, I believe it absolutely in the book of Genesis because He said it because of sin, because it was creation rest was marred, praise God, and we got to go out in the garden, Brother Charles, and we got to grub out those weeds. Amen. I told you, me and my wife got behind on her corn. And things come up and it rained and we couldn't get in the garden. And then the weeds was taking the corn up. They was about bigger, Brother Bill, than the corn. They come a little shared, so we sat in there and spent about 2.5 evenings in there just pulling weeds like a crazy person, trying to get them out of there. We got them all plucked out. Amen. My wife was talking about, she said, reach down and get them weeds pulled out, and some of them would bite her. And you know, got them little old stickers on them. So we got us some gloves with a rubber palms and went back at it. Next evening, we pulled some more weeds. And we pulled them things out, and the rows are just full of weeds. Whole lot. Have you ever noticed there's a whole lot more weeds than there is the corn you planted? Ain't it amazing how you plant that corn and we had a bad spell, and part of my seed and my beans didn't come up, because it got real rainy, and I guess they just rotted in the ground before they could germinate and come up. But you know what? Them weeds, Brother David, they don't have a bit of problem finding a place to come up. And they'll take roots and grow. Well, when we got that first batch, I'm going somewhere with this. Amen. Just hang on. We got that first batch of weeds in the first couple rows there we'd pulled out. Brother Bill, it come a little shower tonight, the night that we pulled him up. And then the next night went back out there and went to pulling weeds. And them little old roots, praise God, that rain had got them down, touched that ground. And I'd be dad Jim out in the middle of the row. It was coming back to life. Amen. Why? Because it's a curse. Creation was perfect. There's no weeds. There was nothing to contend with. But praise God, the devil come along and he caused us to lose that rest. And now every year of gardening time, praise God, you work, you set fingers to the bone just to try to put a bean on the table. Amen. You have to work it. So I had to go back through and pick up every one of those weeds out of rows. But they'd have and carry them out to the end in a big old hole and throw them all in a hole. Had to go through every row and pick up all them weeds. So I could run the tiller through there between those rows of corn for one last time. Amen? Because of the curse, because the weeds was trying to come back, praise God, faster than I could pull them up. Amen. Why? Because creation was marred by sin. Amen. But we need rest from sin. Amen. So we had a creation rest. We marred it with sin. So then we had a Canaan rest. Amen. So God come along and people was messed up. They were messing up left and right. They were making mistakes. Praise God, they got taken into captivity. They ended up down in Egypt, 430 years in bitter bondage. And they called upon the Lord. And they called upon the Lord. And it seemed like the Lord wasn't going to hear them. And then finally God said, I hear it. I hear my people in Israel by reason of their taskmasters. He said, glory be to God. Deliverance has come. Amen. So he brought them up out of Israel. If you look at Joshua chapter 11, he brought the children of Israel up out of Egypt. Of course, you know the story. They spent 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. Because God told them to go in and spy out the land to come back. Caleb, Joshua said, hey, listen. He said, we need to go on in there. He said, glory be to God. They got grapes as big as grapefruit. I mean, praise the Lord. He said, you ain't ever seen such in your life. And somebody said, yeah, but Caleb, Joshua, tell them about those giants. He said, yeah, boy. He said, glory be to God. Let me tell you, great old big giant watermelons. Amen. And he said, I'm not talking about the giant fruits. He said, I'm talking about the giants of the land. He said, glory be to God. He said, I ain't a word about the giants. Praise God. He said, it looks like a land of milk and honey to me. But the rest of them had the mully grubs. They said, oh, Lord. He said, we can't go in there, so them giants will destroy us. But we won't have a chance against them great old big people. They done forgot about God that brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Amen. Deliver them, praise God. Through the Red Sea, parted it, praise God. Let them go across dry shaw. How soon we forget how good God is. But God had a place of Canaan rest for them that he was bringing them to in Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. And the Bible said, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. Now watch this. And the land rested from war. Amen. That Canaan rest, that was a place of no wars, where war was to where war had subsided. I want to say, listen, you say, boy, wouldn't it be a good place? It'd be a good place where you're not warring constantly with something that's trying to overcome us. Amen. You say, well, preacher, we don't have no wars in America. I want to say, you better look around. We're fighting them every day. A fellow just run for office, and he ran on the thought, one of the youngest representatives of some state that there'd been. He's 23 years old, and he was running on the thing that he was at war against these illegal drugs. Amen. This oxycodone, these painkillers. He said, that's killing our people. It's destroying our youth. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying we're at war. Amen. They were entered into Canaan. God went before them. He delivered them from their enemy. Praise God. And he said God gave them rest from wars. Can you imagine? Could you imagine living in a place of perfect peace where there's no adversary? Can you imagine getting up every day and everything's good? Nobody to contend with, no contention nowhere, no strife, no agonizing, amen, over nothing. Glory be to God, just all be peace and joy and harmony and unity forever, amen. So that's where they was at. They was in a place God had brought them through. He delivered them, amen. And he took away the wars. He took away all the battles they was having to fight. They just putting their faith in the Lord, just marching on. Amen. But the Bible goes on in the book of Judges, chapter 2. It said that Joshua died. Have you ever noticed sometimes things will be a clicking along pretty good and you'll have a demise of somebody and it changes the whole thing? I don't know about you, but in our families, people will be clicking along, boy, and things just be running well. And you can have one person that passes away and the whole family just changes. When my wife's daddy was alive, he kept that family in line. I mean, he was making phone calls. He was touching with everybody. And he was setting up times. He would set up dinners. He'd call people together. He'd get us together. And he kept everybody going in the right direction. Was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. But boy, he had a plan. And he knew what he wanted. Amen. And as long as he was alive, boy, it was functioning. Do you know what happened? He passed away. 57 years old, massive heart attack one Friday evening. I was there at work, and he come by me. He said, "You going home?" He said, "Yeah." He drove a truck down our Silver Line. He said, "Yes, I'm going to the house about 2:00." He said, "I'll see you this evening." I said, "All right." It was a thing. We'd go to get together. We'd go over there and eat, or we'd go out and eat on Friday evening, and then we'd have to go buy Dunkin' Donuts or buy Krispy Kreme, get some of them donuts. Amen. And I told him, I said, "We don't need them. You know, we just went down to Walmart, down to Lowe's, and we walked to get rid of dinner." He said, "Well, but," he said, "you can have these." He said, "These are sugar-free and fat-free and cholesterol-free." And he said, "I'm going to buy them so they're free for you." Amen. But on that Friday night, they called us and said, "Alan's had a bad heart attack." We went up there to the hospital, and the doctors had tried all they could do, but they couldn't save him. He went out of here. And that from that very night, that family was changed. Amen. The influence gone, that daddy was taken out. He's no longer there. And things started breaking down. Certain people started going their own directions. Amen. We lost that unity. The Bible says that Joshua died. And in Judges chapter 2, verse 8, said, the Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash." But now watch this. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers." All of that generation were gathered unto their fathers. "And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." Now watch this. He said, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. You see how things can get messed up? That Canaan of rest is where God brought them into. But when Joshua died, and that generation of Joshua passed away, and they was not a generation that didn't know God, I wonder whose fault that was. I wonder whose fault it'll be. Generation coming along behind us that don't know God, it'll be our fault. Amen. We better live and love and try to show it as much as we can. But he said they was a generation after them which knew not the Lord. And they did evil in the sight of the Lord and served other gods. You look around us today, tonight, church, how many of our people are serving other gods? You say, well, preacher, they're not worshiping. They're worshiping the things of this world. They're totally consumed by the things going on. These people are so consumed with the world and Facebook and everybody else and being everybody busy that they can't even focus down at the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're too worried, too fearful that they might miss something in this world. But they gave themselves over. They were broken. That Canaan rest was broken by disobedience. They disobeyed the Lord. Amen. And they chased after other gods. But I'm glad, praise God, that even though they was a creation rest, that we sinned then, we marred it, we messed it up. They was a Canaan rest, praise God, that was broken by disobedience. But I thank God tonight that they's a redemption rest. Amen. They's a redemption rest, and it's secured in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3 tells us of that redemption rest that was secured in Christ Jesus our Lord. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 14. The Bible says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away the judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, and the king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore." Could you imagine a day like that when all evil is gone and done away with, never to be remembered no more? Amen. That is secure. The only place we'll find that is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Bless His holy name. No wonder they was singing and praising and rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Bless His name. He said, "In that day it shall be said," verse 16, "to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing." Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Can you imagine a time, amen, when God Almighty, amen, in redemption love, praise God, in redemption rest, will take us unto Himself and love us in so many different ways, praise God, that we'll like all of them. Amen. He'll take away all the evil and all the evil influence. Who can do that? The Lord Jesus Christ can do that. There's a need for rest today, and the only rest you'll find is in the Lord. Amen. We'll be weary, wore out. Have you ever noticed? Do you ever go on vacation? Amen. You've been on vacation? Have you ever noticed that when you get home, you're wore out?
Yeah.
Huh? You say, "I've got to get out of here." You get out of the job. You say, "I've got to get out of here. I've got to get some rest." And if you're like me, I'd work two or three hours a day extra for 2 weeks before I went to make sure everything was set. Amen. Everything was taken care of till I got back. I mean, wore your fingers to the bone. I mean, you're just frazzled. You jump up and you rush off. You go on vacation. And you run here and you run there and you don't want to miss nothing. Sound familiar? So you run around and run around, and then you jump in the car and end of the week and you run home. Whoa, sounds like fun to me. Amen. Rest. Vacation. Amen. Feel so much better now. Go to work Monday morning and you're frazzled because you thought you'd be caught up and you're 2 weeks behind. So you fly in there for 2 weeks or a month, amen, you play catch up. I want to say, we need some rest. But our rest is not in a vacation. Our rest is in the Lord. Our rest is that redemption rest that we have in Christ Jesus. And one day we will get it. Amen. Praise the Lord. One day in a little while, it'll be secured unto us. The Lord has done it, for He secured us a rest in Christ Jesus. Amen. And He ever liveth. Let me show you something. Look at Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse 25. But verse 24 says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Who's that? Jesus. Amen? An unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he, Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Amen. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come on to me. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Who's them? Those that are saved to the uttermost to God through him. Amen. Praise God. So he said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen. He is that redemption rest, praise God, and he won't rest till we get rest. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. He'll take a recess and shout. Amen. He's not going to rest, praise God. He's still working, amen, for me and you this day. Amen. Glory be to God. There won't be no rest until there's that redemption rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. He ever liveth to make intercession for me and you. So we have a creation rest and have a Canaan rest. Amen. We done messed both those up. We have a redemption rest, praise God, but that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't mess that up. The only way we can mess that up is to reject the precious Lamb of God. But then the Bible tells us that we have an eternal rest. Amen. A rest that we enter into. Look at Hebrews. While you're in Hebrews, go back to Hebrews chapter 4. He says that we have an eternal rest in God Almighty. It's a rest of God and a rest of His people. It's when we come together with God and we rest together. Amen. God created the first rest so that we could have rest. Amen. God created the Canaan rest so that we could have rest. God created the redemption rest so that we could have rest. And He secured that for us so that we don't have to try to hold on to it ourselves. Amen. He provides it for us through Him. Praise the Lord. But then there's that eternal rest, that rest of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, He's talking about that rest that we have. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, He said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from His. Amen. Said, we enter into God's work. Praise the Lord. That's that eternal rest that He gives us when we enter into it. And we forget, then we give up all that other, we won't need a vacation more. Amen? I'm not preaching that you shouldn't take vacations. I'm just saying that's what they are. You go off wore out. Amen? You come back wore out. But you have fun, amen, in between. I'm not saying that vacations ain't worth taking because they are fun. I mean, you go out and do different things and spend time with your family. It's needful. But I'm just saying, it ain't all we think. It ain't the kind of rest that we think we're going to get when it's all said and done. But He said there is a rest, praise God, for the soul, amen, that's out of this world. Praise God. It's a good rest. Amen. What kind of rest is it? It's a rest that satisfies. Amen. The work is complete. The work is finished. There's nothing else to do. Amen. You don't have to worry about doing it when you get back. It's complete. It's a completed work in the Lord. God in us and us. What he's saying here, it's God in us and us in God. It's a complete work. Nothing lacking, nothing left to do. Praise God. It's a complete work, an eternal rest, praise God, because of that peace between God and man. When we get into that eternal rest, praise God, it's a place of eternity, it's a place of rest. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing left to finish. We enter into it perfect. That perfect relationship between God, that perfect relationship between us and God, amen, is there. There's nothing else to work on. Amen. Don't you know that's going to be a day of rejoicing for God? Have you ever thought about it? Don't you know every day, praise God, we get up. Of course, God don't, a day is 1,000 years. Lord, every day, amen, a day's nothing to Him. It's a little 24-hour period that we live. I mean, He's an eternal God. But every day, every night we pillow our head, and every day, every morning we'll get up. And I know God's got a sense of humor. And I can see Him as he said, the Holy Spirit said, wonder what they're going to get into today. Wonder what I'll have to get them out of this morning. Huh? He knows. Amen. But He says, one day, praise God, God's going to, He's going to be so relieved because he's going to say, you know what? I don't have to deal with them no more in that situation down there in that cursed world. Praise God, I'm going to bring them out. I'll bring them up, bring them out. Glory be to God. And everything's going to be perfect. I'm talking about an eternal rest. The need for rest. We need that rest. I don't know about you, I want that rest. I'm going to have that rest. Amen. Praise God. I've set every fiber in my being, praise God, on that rest. I don't worry a whole lot about it here. But I'm going to have it there, praise the Lord. Amen. Me and God are going to rest together. Bless His holy name. In verse 10, so he that is entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from His. So we're going to have to, we're able to quit working on ourselves here. Because when we get there, we'll be perfect. Amen. We'll be like the Lord and we'll enter into that perfect rest, that eternal rest, that rest that's from God. In chapter 4, verse 5, he said, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Amen. What he's saying here, in other words, what God's saying here, now watch this, he said, I've got a gift for you. I said, at the end of this thing, when it's all consummated, he said, I've got a gift for you, and that gift is eternal rest. You'll never be weary no more. He said, I'm going to bring you out, praise God, present you to myself, and we're going to rest together in the Lord. Amen. I'll be perfect. Glory be. My wife will be so happy. Amen. I'll be perfect. You'll be perfect. We'll be with a perfect God, and we'll enter into that rest that He has. And we all need rest. Amen. Praise God, we need that rest. That's a gift from God. That's what He gives us. He said we'll rest, and we'll even rest from our labors. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, the Bible says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Amen. One of these days, praise God, Brother John, we're going to rest from our labors. All our labor here will be finished. Every morning of getting up and every day of pressing on and every day of doing what we've got to do. Amen. One day, glory be to God, we'll enter into that eternal rest with the Lord. Glory be to God. And every day everything we do from then on will be for the glory of God. In the presence of the Lord. He said, well, preacher, we ought to be doing everything that we do today for the glory of God. Amen. Yes, we should, but we fall short. Amen. But then he said, all of our works, our labors is finished. Amen. Praise God, we'll be perfect with a perfect God. And we'll enter into His rest. That godly, the way that it was supposed to be in the beginning. Where we can walk with God in the cool of the evening. Amen. Nothing has to be taken care of. Nothing has to be worked on. Nothing around us has to be cleaned or picked up. Amen. Praise the Lord. I told him at the funeral Monday, we buried Brother Rex's Aunt Lucy. And I said that she was thinking about selling her house, so she was cleaning house. Amen. And apparently, must have had a heart attack or something, and she just sat down in front, against the bed and went on to be with the Lord. Amen. But I said, guess what? Lucy entered into a perfect rest. She don't have to worry about the mess up there. Amen. He said, the Bible says, there's nothing that defiles over there. Amen. Everything's clean and spotless and pretty and pure. Amen. He said, preacher, I can't even imagine a place like that. Oh, if we could only imagine. If we could only imagine. But because we can't, because we don't see the need for rest. But we need, there's a need for rest, and our rest is in the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. One day He'll snatch us out of here, take us to be with Him, and glory be to God, we'll have rest in with the Lord. In the Lord, with the Lord, forevermore. Amen. The kind of rest that God desired for us to get in the very beginning when He planted us in the garden. Amen. Took Adam, made him a helpmeet, planted him in the garden. He said, here you go. Here's your rest. And he put him there in the garden, praise God, and all they'd do is just tend to the garden, have fellowship with the Lord. And they'd get a little weary and they'd fill their head at night and wake up the next morning brand new. Amen. Not tired, not weary, not wore out. Now, nowadays, if you we don't get our sleep, we don't get a good night's sleep. I mean, we get up and, you know, we don't want to wake up grumpy, so we let them sleep. Amen. And we go on about our business, but we sometimes we don't get enough rest. If you like me and Brother Jeff, you got to wear one of them CPAP things. And if that thing, and brother, a lot of us do, I think Brother John, Brother Bill, if you wear one of them things, and if that thing, if it comes off sometime in the night or something happens, then you don't get a good night's rest, so you're tired the next day. Amen. You wake up and you have a dream that somebody's got a hold of your face mask and they're rubbing it all over your face, and you find out that it wasn't a dream, that it was your wife, because it was leaking and blowing air and she was trying to get it to seal off. Better than a pillow, but you don't get that rest. But I want to say, in closing, there's a place of perfect rest, and we all need that rest. Amen.